the motor home that's parked behind the church is what they pulled in. The police followed them yesterday. I noticed when they pulled in off of Madison into the parking lot, I looked and the city police car was going real slow and watching them. And I'm sure when he saw them pull off 209 to the south side of Cambridge, he thought, that guy's got to be lost. He's not taking that big thing anywhere down there. So when they saw that he knew where he's going, they were all right with it. But they travel along, and I've noticed on their itinerary on their website that they've got a full summer, a full year, really. They do vacation Bible schools along with revivals and meetings and so forth. And we're glad to have them here for the week. Again, vacation Bible school starts tomorrow through Friday, and the kids will really enjoy that. And you adults that come to help out, you'll enjoy it also. We will be having a meeting following the evening service tonight. Again, one more time for those that are going to be helping work with the Vacation Bible School. Brother Walker wants to get with you for just a few minutes, make sure everybody's lined up and set up, and we'll have that meeting following the service tonight. But we're glad to have them here. Always enjoy his preaching and teaching. I don't think you ever have nobody ever walks away saying, what was he saying? All right, you get it clear. If we can put a baseball analogy to it, it's across the plate waist high. And you get it, and you were here for Sunday school. You understood exactly what he meant and exactly what he's saying. Doesn't beat around the bush. I appreciate that. Good preaching is that way. You understand what's going on, and the Lord's able to use it. So we're glad to have them here. I don't know about, you know, it seems to me he's got the easy job. After singing like that, anybody can preach. I mean, that just gets you ready. They start singing, Do You Know My Jesus, and the harmony on those songs, and you're just ready to get up and let her rip. So I'm going to get out of the way so he can do that. So, Brother Jim, you come ahead.
Thank you, brother. All right, take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I'll talk a little this morning, and maybe I'll finish this tonight. I don't know. This is kind of like can be a two-part thing. Depends. I want to talk this morning about different stages people go through when they're lost. And, you know, a lot of times, I remember when I was growing up in the faith, the different approaches people made to soul winning, and there was always the idea that, boy, if you'll just get out there and knock on doors or go out there and work the streets and what have you, people are waiting for you, they're waiting for the truth, they're miserable, they're just can't sleep at night and all this and that, and they're just waiting for somebody to get out there and tell them about Jesus. So I believe that. So I would go out and I'd knock on doors and pass out tracts, and to my amazement, people would say, what are you talking about? I don't need that. Get out of here. I'm happy with my life. And I'm thinking, these people are supposed to be waiting for preachers to come and tell them the truth. They're supposed to be in misery and agony and all that and just waiting to hear the good news of Jesus. And the fact of the matter is, that's not the case. The fact of the matter is, people go through different stages of being lost, and we want to try to discuss a few of those today. Luke 15 is a great example. And Luke 15, starting at verse 11, and very familiar section of Scripture. Starting at verse 11, it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into this. Father, we come to you this evening, and we thank you again so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for church. Thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to be able to freely meet without harassment. Lord, it may not always be that way, but we're thankful right now. And I know there's a lot of people that are out on their boats and golf courses, whatever it may be. And yet, Lord, these dear folks have come here because they love you. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd feed us with manna from heaven. Take this piece of dirt standing behind the pulpit. In me and my flesh dwells no good thing, and without you I can't do anything. Pray that you would fill it with your Holy Spirit and speak to us this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would move up and down these aisles, fill this building with your presence, bind every unclean devil and try to interrupt or interfere. And Lord, we just pray that you would deal with our hearts. Help us, Lord, in this subject. Help us, Father, to be more burdened about souls. Help us, Father, to, Lord, love you more when we leave than when we came in. And Lord, that would be such a blessing. Help us, Lord. Spirit of God, please minister to us. In Christ's name, amen. So we have this son in Luke chapter 15. And if you'll notice, he was the younger of the two. In verse 12 it says, and the younger of them said to his father. So here's the younger son going out. And it's interesting how ages affect decisions young people make. Young people make a lot of wrong decisions. I was young once, I can say that, I know. And it's just odd that a lot of times when you're young, you have this concept that you know things that you don't even have all the questions to. You get a little bit older, you realize, boy, you know, I don't even know all the questions. How can I have all the answers? But I don't know. There's that period where young people go through, and I guess it's normal, where you think you've got all the answers. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:25 says twice, there's a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. We've got this thing in our hearts and in our minds that we think we know what's right. This way seems right to me, and not realizing that it is a way of death. Here's this young man, and notice he says to his father, give me of the portion of goods that fall to me. This is the inheritance. And what's interesting in those days is that they didn't wait for somebody to die to get their inheritance. Usually the father, when a young person reached either 18, 19, 20, somewhere around there, they could get their inheritance. And they did that while daddy was still alive. And the reason being is that they knew that the young person needed some help with the money. And so they would give them the inheritance, and then daddy would still be alive and mom would still be alive to help them figure out what to do with it if they would listen. If they would listen. And here's a younger son right here says, it's time for me to get my money. I want to get my money. And he wants to head out. He doesn't want to listen. So here we begin this journey, if you will, where this younger son has to come to know what's right and what's wrong and so on and so forth. And so I've got some stages here of what it's like to be lost, what it's some stages of what some folks go through. Number one, being lost can be fun. Being lost can be fun. You say, I would never believe I ever heard something like that from a pulpit. You haven't lived then, have you? The Bible says this, there is pleasure in sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin for a season. And during this first stage right here, this young man goes out and he's finding the pleasure in sin. The season hasn't ended yet. But any of us that live long enough know that there are seasons. I mean, we are in summer right now, but we'll know when we'll see the leaves start to change a little bit and that cool wind start to blow again around mid-September and late September, we realize we're going from summer into fall. And when we see all the leaves off the trees and all of a sudden frost on the pumpkin, as the old-timers used to say, we realize we're heading into wintertime. We know the seasons. We know things change. And yet a person in this condition right here in stage one has this idea that things aren't going to change. They just find the pleasure in it. And I talk about a lot of young folks that are in this stage right here are what do I call amateur sinners. You know, they've not gone the depths of it yet. They're toying with it. They've just got into it, and they realize, wow, this is cool, and this is fun, and that's fun, and so on and so forth. And they need to talk to some veteran sinners. I always said this, every youth group should go visit the jail. Every youth group should go visit the insane asylum. The youth group should go visit the rescue mission, because you know what you have there? You have the veteran sinners. You have the sinners that started out finding the pleasure in sin, but realized seasons change, and now they are a mess because of sin. That's what the youth group ought to go see. Because we've got a lot of these young people running around thinking, well, I can do this and I can do that. Nothing's going to happen to me. Oh, that's not going to happen to you yet. But I worked in the rescue mission. I know guys that have ministered in the jails for years. I know what happens to sinners. Just give it time. Give it time. Any good dope dealer will give you your first buy for free. Because they know if I do this one time, if I can give it to this guy one time and he does it, he's going to get hooked on it. And then I got him. See? So, you know, here's a young man right here who's an amateur sinner. He's getting the money. He's going to go his way. And he thinks everything's okay. You know, a lot of college kids fall in that category. A lot of college kids fall in that category. I've talked to a lot of guys that had been in college, and you know they'll be honest. They'll say, "Look, I came to college to party. I didn't come. I'm going to get my education. I'm pretty smart, and I'm going to make the grades when I need to make the grades. I know how to cram. I know how to do all that stuff. But man, I'm here to party. I don't have mom and dad tell me what to do anymore. I can stay out as late as I want to stay. You know, I don't have any obligations. A lot of them there on a scholarship, what have you. I don't really burn about the money. I'm just here to have a good time." Just ever here to have a party. And some folks have said this for a young man, that college is a 4-year vacation between your mother and your wife. But that's the attitude with a lot of them. And that's the way a lot of these college kids are. You know, they're just here for the party, just here for the vacation, and just here for the fun. They're sinning on credit. They're sinning on credit. You all understand that, right? I mean, if you've got a credit card, you realize that, you know, I can take the plastic in there and get whatever I want, but there's going to come a bill one of these days. Maybe a lot of Americans don't understand that. Maybe that's why they run that credit card so far up and can't figure out why they're $25,000 in debt. You know, I mean, you go to the store, you've got your plastic card there, nice and shiny, brand new, magnetic strip still works and all that stuff, and you go in and buy a bunch of stuff, and you just put that plastic through there, and wow, it's yours. Wow, this little card got me all that stuff. And then 30 days later, you get the bill. That isn't as fun, is it? And now you got to pay for it. And that's where a lot of this stuff is. In this stage right here, a young person, or maybe a middle-aged person, maybe, I don't know, they go out on sin on credit. I went out and did this, and man, I'm having fun, and eventually the bill's going to come. Eventually the bill's going to come. But here's stage one, just pleasure in sin for a season. Aesop, who was a 6th century B.C. Greek philosopher, and I don't read him that much, but he did say this. He had a fable, which is what he's famous for. One of his fables was about the bees and the honeypot. And the fable goes like this, that the honeypot got tipped over, and the honey spilled out, and all of a sudden these bees start flying around. Or is it flies? Flies, that's what it is. These flies start flying around, and they get to smelling that honey. That smells pretty good. And as they fly around, one of them says, you know, I'm going to go down and get me some of that. So he goes down into that honey, and he gets in that honey, and he starts lapping that stuff up. And, oh, man, this is really good. Not realizing his feet are stuck in it. And pretty soon, as his wings begin to droop, the wings get stuck in it. And now he's stuck, and he can't get out. And one by one, these flies will come in, go into that stuff, enjoy it for a little bit, and then realize I'm stuck. That's where a lot of young sinners are. You mess around with it, you get in it, you enjoy it, then all of a sudden you realize, man, I'm stuck. I'm stuck. Phase one. Phase two. He's left home. And in verse 13 it says, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country. He didn't realize where he was going, didn't have any idea probably where. He just wanted to get out. He just wanted to get away from home. And he's going to go into a far country. But I'll tell you this. I know he never intended on ending up in the pig pen. What would a good Jewish boy want to do being in a pig pen? He never had any plans of going out and ending up feeding a bunch of pigs and living with a bunch of pigs. You know, a lot of... in fact, Luke chapter 15 is about three lost things. You've got a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. People are lost for different reasons. You know why a sheep gets lost? It gets preoccupied. A sheep gets lost because it gets preoccupied. It's chomping on the grass and chewing around. And it's got its head down like that all the time. Doesn't realize the flock's going over here. It's just, you know, having a good time preoccupied in what it's doing. And there are people today that are simply preoccupied in the things of this life, especially in America. Especially in America. America can keep you preoccupied from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and you never one time think about God. Just preoccupied. All the junk. I've said this. America is Christian Disneyland. You got all the junk, all the toys, all that stuff you could ever want. You keep your mind occupied. You can keep it off the things of God, off spiritual things. Just it's fishing and hunting and boating and racing and baseball and football and movies and games and you name it. You can be preoccupied in your entire life until you drop dead. Sheep get lost because they're preoccupied. That coin in Luke chapter 15 got lost because of somebody's carelessness. Somebody lost that coin. Somebody's carelessness. We used to work in the inner city of Toledo. And I tried running a bus route on Sunday mornings. That didn't work in the housing projects. Either nobody was up, or when they did get up, they were starting to cook on the grills. I mean, ribs and chicken, all that stuff. 10 o'clock in the morning, you know. But we tried it for a while, and I remember running the bus through there one Sunday morning. Toledo is dead as can be on Sunday morning. It's as dead as can be on Monday morning. But it's even deader on Sunday morning. And we're driving the bus around, and I saw one of the girls that we normally picked up, younger, about 6-7 years old. Her name was Janita. And she's running around, you know, downtown, you know. And I drove the bus by. I said, Janita, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just, you know, running around. I said, you want to come to Sunday school? She said, yeah, I'll come to Sunday school. I said, go tell your mama. She said, I don't know where my mama is. I said, what do you mean? Well, mama got her check yesterday or the day before, and I haven't seen mama since. And that was the story of Janita's life. I mean, sometimes we pick up Janita in one housing project, staying with auntie. Sometimes we'd pick her up another place, staying with granny. Sometimes we'd pick her up, staying with mama. We never really knew where we were going to pick her up at. And for Janita, when mama got her check, mama went out and got her dope. And mama would be gone for 3 or 4 days. And Janita's just on her own. And we tried to witness to her, and we tried to lead her to the Lord. I don't know if we ever did or not. But I'm going to tell you something. Part of that young girl's problem was the carelessness of her mother. Now, I understand she'll have to give an answer to God someday. She'll get to a time when she understands her own sin and her need for Christ and personal responsibility. But boy, I'm telling you, when you've got a situation like that, I believe God is much more merciful and gracious than for those that have been raised in the church and have heard the Word of God since they were babies. But here's the carelessness of somebody else. This son, however, is not a sheep, he's not a coin, he's a son. And he is lost because of a miscalculation. You realize that a lot of people throw their lives away because of miscalculation. I can go out and do this, preacher. I can get involved in that, preacher. And I'll know when to stop. And I'll know when to get out of it. And at such time, I'm going to come back to God. I'll be back in church, preacher. I just got to go out and have a little fun now. But I'll be back. Miscalculation. Most of them don't come back. Somebody said one time, they wrote a song. It said, sin will take you farther than you want to go. Slowly but wholly taking control. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. Miscalculation. So here's a young man, he wants to go out and have fun, never intends on ending up in the pig pen, he's just going to have a good time. I reckon he planned on coming back to daddy. I reckon he planned on coming back with the money that he took out. And I figured he would just, everything would just, you know, fall right in place. Everything will be all right. And it's not. It's not. Thirdly, he thought being lost was fun. Never planned on ending up at the pig pen. And listen, for him, it was easy to go the route that he went. And for most people, it's easy. It's easy. Jesus said, broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, but straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to eternal life. Few there be that find it. That broad way is always out there. That broad way is always available. And almost every place in your life, there's an exit or an on-ramp to get on that Broadway and to go that way. Take your Bible and turn to Ephesians chapter 2, if you would. I believe the devil has a built-in GPS in our flesh. I do. I believe the devil has a built-in GPS in our flesh. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. He says, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now, talking about people that are saved that were lost. He says this about them when they were lost in verse 2. "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." This world has a course. And the devil is behind the course. You know, we've told people, you know, God has a plan for your life. And once you get saved, yes, God has a plan for your life. He's got a definite plan, a specific plan. He's got everything He wants you to do. He's got a wife. He's got a husband. He's got all that stuff planned out. He's got a plan for your life. Let me tell you this, the devil has a plan for your life too. There is no in between. Either you're following the devil's course or the devil's plan, or you get converted and you follow the plan of Jesus Christ. But one way or the other, you're following somebody. Now look at this thing. He said, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air." Who's the prince of the power of the air? That's the devil. So the devil has a plan for your life. Isn't that good news this morning? Young people, the devil has a plan for your life. He's got a course laid out on the broad way. You talk about a course. You know, if we go to a golf course, what do? You go from one hole, depends who you are. You might go from one hole into the woods, come out, you know. But, you know, you've got hole number one, hole number two. The course is laid out all the way to the 18th hole. The devil's got a plan laid out, course of this world. He'll take you here, and he'll take you there, and he'll take you there until you're done. He said, "Walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." That's what I'm saying. In your flesh is a built-in GPS. And there's that little voice. I hate that little voice, by the way. I don't use a GPS. You know what I use a GPS for? Altitude, direction, and speed. I know how to read a map. I can get online and Google a nice map. I read the map. I really don't need another woman trying to tell me what to do, okay? So I don't get into the GPS thing too often. But, I mean, it'll tell you, you know, right turn here, miscalculating route, all that stuff. And the devil's got that little built-in voice in the flesh. "Why don't you go here? Why don't you go there? Left turn coming ahead." Walk according to the course of the prince of the power of the air, course of this world. And listen. Bad things will happen automatically. Bad things will happen automatically unless you take specific action to prevent it. If I get on the broad way and go according to the course of this world, unless I find an exit ramp and change direction, bad things are going to automatically happen. Because that's what the devil's a specialist in. So what's the big deal, preacher, if I follow the devil? He hates human beings. I didn't say Christians, I said human beings. He hates human beings. He came to rob, to kill, and to destroy, is what Jesus said. That's what he gets his kicks out of. And he would love to destroy your life, and you get on his course, he will take you on a course that eventually leads to your absolute destruction. And ultimately, your destruction in a lake of fire. That's his whole plan for your life. Unless you hit an exit ramp somewhere, that's where you're heading. For some it's quicker, for others it's a long time. But ultimately, he's going to destroy your life. That's his thing. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 13. Here's a couple interesting verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. And there are people out there that are in stage one. You're going to try to knock on their door, hand them a gospel tract. They're going to laugh at you and say, "I'm having too much fun." There's people in stage two. "Yeah, preacher, I know you're right. But, you know, I'm going to get back. I'm just going to mess around a little bit, then I'll be back in church." People in stage three, you know, "Well, I'm going the way I feel I should go. I'm going this way." Yeah. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse 21. Here's a very interesting verse. "Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." Evil pursueth sinners. Have you ever wondered why certain people just keep getting in trouble all the time? Why? And I've known people, being in the roofing trade, I've known a lot of these guys, and it seemed like something was always happening to them, even out of their control. Something would happen to them. I mean, they'd go out at night, go down the carryout, buy a pack of cigarettes, and they get jumped and they get beat up. They didn't have anything to do with that, except for the fact that evil pursueth sinners. You choose to go on the broad way, to walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, evil pursueth sinners. And it will catch up to you. Look at the Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Wow. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Say, preacher, I'm just going to go the broad way for a while. I'm just going to go the course of this world. I'm going to do what I want to do, go where I want to go. And the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. That's rough stuff, isn't it? I don't think Joel Osteen's ever preached anything like that. How do you say that with a smile? Curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Evil pursueth sinners. Here's a young man that's got off on this road. He's going down the broad way. He thinks everything is okay, but evil's pursuing him. And now there's a curse on his life. Very interesting. Now, take your Bible and let's look back at Luke. Luke chapter 15. So here's this young man. He's going to go out. He's got his money. He's going to have a good time with it. He's going to have some fun, pleasure. Everything will be okay. He's not going to end up in a pig pen like the preacher might have said, like the rabbi might have said. He's not going to do that. He's just going to go according to the course of this world, and everything will be okay. Verse 13. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He doesn't have a clue what's going on. He has no idea at all what is going on and what's changing his life. He's kind of like a walking zombie. Ever see these zombies, these pictures of these zombies? They just walk around, you know, have no idea what's happening, what's going on. That's kind of like what this guy is. There's a lot of people in the world like that. And I remember hearing a story, and I'm still not clear on this story. It either happened to Bob Harrington. I remember Bob Harrington, chaplain of Bourbon Street. Remember that guy? Incredible preacher. There were times he would debate with Madeline Murray O'Hare and what have you. But for years, he worked Bourbon Street in New Orleans. And Red Light District down there, tremendous, tremendous preacher. And it either happened to him or he told the story. I'm not exactly sure on it. But if I remember correctly, it was him. And he's going across the route that goes across Lake Pontchartrain, which is that big lake just north of New Orleans. And in those days, there wasn't the road system they have now. But there was a bridge going across Lake Pontchartrain. And he talks about being in the car. It's very raining very hard all night. And he says, I'm driving along the road, and I can see headlights, down the other end of the road. I can see those headlights. But it's raining real hard. It's been raining for a long time. And then he said, I would look up, and I realized the headlights are gone. The headlights aren't there. And he thought, that's odd, because there are no turnoffs on this thing. This is just a bridge, you know. And he'd see another headlight way off in the distance, you know, and it would disappear. And he said, I got an eerie feeling about this. He said, something isn't feeling right here. And so he started to drive a little bit slower. And then he says, I'm really getting this eerie feeling. And something's telling me, stop. So he said, so I stopped my car. And I went out and got in the trunk, got my flashlight, pouring down rain, soaking wet. And I'm taking my flashlight and I'm walking ahead and I'm looking. And he said, I'm looking at the asphalt on the road, and all of a sudden it's gone, and all I'm seeing is water. And the bridge had washed away. That part of the bridge had washed away. And these cars that had been coming, they didn't see it. They just right on in it. So then his next thought was, he said, I better stop anybody coming this way. So he got his flashlight, and for about an hour he stood there just stopping the traffic until the police could come and shut down the highway. He didn't have cell phones at that time. He just stood there and stopped the traffic so nobody else would fall into that thing. What a picture of evangelism, amen? Because we've got a lot of people in this world, for whatever reason, wandering around like a bunch of zombies, preoccupied with all the toys and the junk of America, preoccupied in sin, and heading into destruction, heading to a lake of fire. The Bible says there is but one step between me and death. That's it, one step. You realize someday you're going to take your last step. I remember at the old Southwick Shopping Center in Toledo. They've torn it down by now. But years ago, in the old Southwick Shopping Center, and I remember this because I was a roofer, and they were putting a new roof on the mall. And this mall had in the center, like a lot of them do, the huge glass skylights that let the light in, and very, very pretty. There was a roofer up there, and he was doing his job and just walking around and not remembering where he was. And he was carrying something or what have you, and he took one step on that glass with what he was carrying, and he went right on through, 2.5 stories, head first, dead. One step between me and death. Who knows what that guy was thinking about before he took that last step? He was preoccupied in his job. Who knows if he ever trusted Christ or as a Savior or not? But he took his last step. One step between me and death. And these folks out here that you see every day that have on the back of their little sports car, no fear, that have on, don't bother me with your God, don't need religion, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Some of them today are going to take their very last step. I've preached on the street many times, and I've told people this, that every major newspaper has an obituary column, and every obituary column has names added to it every day. And you tell me, you prove to me, your name's not going to be added to that obituary column today. Oh, everybody says, you prove to me God. Prove to me Jesus exists. You prove to me you're going to be alive tomorrow. You prove to me you're going to be alive tomorrow. One step between me and death. Kind of like zombies just walking around. And they need Jesus Christ. I think I'm going to stop there for now. But let me ask you a question this morning. Where do you stand? Has there been that time in your life when you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? All of us were on the Broadway. All of us were following the course of the Prince of the Power of the Air, the course of this world. But you know, sometimes that GPS... It tells me this all the time if I use it. Recalculating route. You know what you need to do? Some of you sitting in here this morning never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know what you need to do? You need to recalculate your route. That's called repentance. Time to recalculate. Oh, preacher, I'm going to be okay. You're not going to be okay. Oh, preacher, I can come back anytime I want. You ain't going to come back anytime you want. Right now, this morning, is a great time, if you're not a child of God, to recalculate your route. And get on a path and get on a route that's going to take you to life and life more abundant. Take you on a route or a path that's going to lead you to heaven, to eternal life, and get you off the path that's going to lead to destruction and burning in hell. Time to recalculate your route. Christian, how about you? Are you talking to people about Jesus Christ? Are you running into people like that? He said, preacher, I don't know. I've never heard people say that. How are you talking to people? I mean, we're talking here about somebody that's lost and why they're lost and the need for evangelism. Christian, are you talking to people about Jesus Christ? Listen, I'm not of that, you know, I'm not the big soul-winning, preaching pusher, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm not into that crowd. But the fact of the matter is, as Christians, we're supposed to be telling people about Jesus Christ. Are you talking to people about Jesus Christ? Are you trying to do something to reach people for Jesus Christ? There's a wall back there that has gospel tracts on it. Are you taking gospel tracts? Are you at least passing out some gospel tracts that have the plan of salvation on them? And let me ask you this. And I'm not getting on you. I haven't been here in a year. I don't know where you're at. Maybe everything's going great. You're doing everything right. I'm just saying this. I want you to get this. If you're not witnessing in some way or another, trying to get the gospel to people, that is just as bad of a sin as if you went out and got an abortion last night, as if you went out and got drunk last night, as if you cheated on your husband or wife last night, if you robbed a carryout last night at gunpoint. Not telling people about Jesus Christ as just as wicked and just as sinful as any other sin you can think of. And if I stood behind this pulpit this morning, and if I said to you, hey, guess what I did last night? I cheated on my wife. Oh, you'd have my head. You'd either throw me out the front door, drag me to the pulpit and all that, and say, what's wrong with you? But if I said to you, you know, I haven't witnessed anybody in a week, you'd say, oh, no, no. See, we don't realize the necessity of evangelism. I know where this world is going. I know the direction it is. I know where we are eschatologically, last days speaking. I know where we are. I know Jesus is coming soon. I have not yet found anything in the Bible where it says, you know, today you can stop witnessing. Today, throw the tracts away. Don't waste any more money on them. You know, don't waste your time going to... Today, you can stop all that. I've never found that in the Bible. So, Christian, maybe you need to get your heart right this morning. Maybe you need to spend some time with the Lord this morning and say, Lord, you know, I guess I kind of forgot about that one. So, preacher, I can't get out. I had a dear elderly lady down in Florida say, you know, preacher, I can't get out anymore. But you know what I do? This is great. She said, I get a lot of junk mail. Oh, yeah, we all get junk mail. She said, you know what I do with the junk mail? She says, almost all the junk mail that I have has in it a self-addressed postage-paid envelope. She says, I stick a couple gospel tracts in there and put it right back out for the mailman. That's the way she does it. She can't get around like she used to. But she's found a way to get the gospel out. How about you? Or have we just forgotten about that? Let's all bow our heads. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Listen, I'm not getting on you this morning. I know this. Somebody's going to die today in the Cambridge, Ohio area. Somewhere around here in the tri-counties, whatever you want to call it. Somebody's going to die. I sure hope they didn't cross your path this week and you failed to get the gospel to them. You may be sitting out there this morning and say, preacher, I'm not a Christian. I'm kind of like that young man in the story. I tried to find pleasure in sin, never intended on messing things up, thought I could come back anytime. Preacher, my life's a mess. Time to recalculate route. Time to come to Jesus Christ. Why don't you trust Christ this morning? We're going to give you an opportunity here in just a minute. If you're not saved, we'd ask you very simply to come forward. Somebody will come by and take a Bible. Say, why do I have to do that in front of everybody? I don't know, but Jesus called everybody publicly. There's something about this public thing. But if you'll come forward, somebody will take a Bible and sit down with you and take about 10 minutes, 15 minutes and show you from the Bible what you need to believe and help you to trust Christ to be your Savior. And you can start your life over again today. You can get off the Broadway and get on the way of the Lord Jesus Christ that leads to life and life more abundantly and eternal life. Christian, maybe you need to talk to the Lord this morning about your sin of failure to evangelize. Preacher, why don't you come ahead and close us out.
Page number 3, we're going to take a song, a verse of invitation.